So we're continuing our study of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, and today's shloka is number 38. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet Nashtapraye Svabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Agyan Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam Pangum langhayate girim Yat kripa tamaham bande Sri gurundinatarinam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kipasindubhya evacha Patitanang pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dishya Hare Sya Babata Pado Bhuvo. Bharo panitas lavajan maneshitu Tishyankitam tvat padakas susobhaner Drakshyamagam jam chatavanukampitam Dishya By fortune. Hare, O Lord, Asya of this world, Bhavata of your lordship, Pada of the place, Bhuva on this earth, Bhada the burden created by the demons. Apanita, now removed, Tava, of your lordship, Janmana, by appearance as an incarnation, Ishitu, you, the controller of everything, Disjā, and by fortune. Ankitam, marked. Tvat padakai, by your lotus feet. Sushobhane, which are transcendentally decorated with the marks of conch shell, disc, lotus, and club. Drakshyama, we shall surely observe. Gam, upon this earth. Dhyamcha, in heaven also. Tava anukampitam, due to your causeless mercy upon us. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of lotus, conch shell, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The soles of the Lord's lotus feet are marked with shankha, chakra, gada, padma, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, and also by a flag and a thunderbolt. When Krishna walks on this earth, or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were fortunate to see these marks here and there. When Akrura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram away to the festival arranged by Kamsa, upon seeing the marks of the Lord's lotus feet on the ground of Vrindavan, he fell down and began to groan. These marks are visible to devotees who receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tava anukampitam. The demigods were jubilant, not only because the appearance of the Supreme Lord would do away with the burdensome demons, but also because they would be able to see upon the ground the transcendental marks from the soles of the Lord's lotus feet. The gopis always thought of the Lord's lotus feet when he was walking in the pasturing grounds, and as described in the previous verse, simply by thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis were fully absorbed in transcendence. Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate. Like the gopis, one who is always absorbed in thoughts of the Lord is beyond the material platform and will not remain in this material world. It is our duty, therefore, always to hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet as actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. So this is a very wonderful purport that Prabhupada is relating this shloka to Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham, where we are all residing. This is the same Vrindavan Dham that Krishna appeared in 5,000 years ago, and he walked on this very land that we are walking upon. Adbhut. It's certainly Adbhut. So we are so fortunate to be able to understand this and to realize this. And as Prabhupada mentions, the real Vaishnavas, they are constantly remembering this. This is the same Vrindavan where Krishna came and appeared. So we are the inhabitants of Vrindavan also. And 5,000 years is actually a cosmic microsecond in eternal time. Krishna was just here. Boom. He's still here. He is still here. And those Vaishnavas, as Prabhupada says, who have decided to live in Vrindavan, which is us, we have made that decision. We want to live in Vrindavan. Such Vaishnavas always think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. Because everywhere you go in Vrindavan, you're reminded of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Everywhere. This is the spiritual world. But not everyone can see that this is the spiritual world. We have people come to Vrindavan and they only see a place in India. But we who live here and are chanting the holy names here and are taking darshan of the gorgeous deities here, who are doing parikrama here, who are taking mahaprasad here, who are studying the shastra here, who have placed our body in this same place where Krishna came and placed his body, although his was Satchidananda body, ours isn't. But we're following in the footsteps of all the great Vaishnavas living here in Vrindavan. And for that, there is special mercy. I remember when I first came to India. Of course, at that time, well, I first came to Vrindavan. This is the first place I came to live. And then afterwards, I shifted to Mayapur. And in those days, I was more a Gauranga Bhakta and loved Mayapur. But today, I'm a Krishna Bhakta and I love Vrindavan. So one has to be receive the mercy of the Lord and the Guru and the Sadhus, the Acharyas, to be able to live in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said so many times, you cannot purchase a ticket to Vrindavan. Many people purchase a ticket and they come here, but they can't stay here and they leave. Recently, I've been having discussions about Vrindavan with some of my God brothers who are not living in Vrindavan. And it was revealed in these discussions that they feel that Vrindavan is a material place in India. And I was shocked to hear such a thing. And I said, no one who lives in Vrindavan thinks of it as just another place in India. And they were saying, yeah, but what about the pollution? Or what about the dirt and the open sewers and people cheating you all the time and this and that and this and that? And then one devotee actually said to me, when I was in Vrindavan, one of your bridge bossies came up to me and said, can you get me a ticket to America? He was thinking that such a person was a bridge bossy. But the bridge bossies are those who live here and would never leave and get a ticket to America. They can't leave here because they love Vrindavan, because this is the land of Krishna. But some people who come here, they don't see the real Brijbasis, and they mistake the people that come here for economic development, they mistake them for the real Brijbasis. And so their conception of Vrindavan as a material place, that's the reality that they have. And that's the reality that Yoga Maya is allowing them to have. Yoga Maya is not pulling the curtains and allowing them to see the real Vrindavan as Yoga Maya is allowing us. We're getting that special mercy. And I remember when I came to India, and one time Prabhupada was speaking to us, darshan. I had many darshans with Prabhupada. I was so fortunate, so fortunate. So one of the things he said in this darshan, that 1 year in India is worth 3 years of advancement in the West. And every year when the devotees came for the Gaur Purnima festivals, I could see how the devotees who were living here and preaching in India were so much more getting the mercy than the devotees who came from the West. Prabhupada said, three times faster we make advancement living in India. But then on another occasion he said that if you live in the holy Dham of Sri Vrindavan, everything you do is magnified. Magnified 1,000 times. So we can be making advancement 1,000 times faster than anybody else. Of course, if you commit aparad, that's also magnified 1,000 times, and you can leave or be shown the door of Vrindavan very quickly. So we have to be so careful to honor and respect everyone in Vrindavan, because it's not what I consider to be an offense, it's what Sudarshan Chakra considers to be an offense. It's what Yamaraj considers to be an offense. It's what Vishnu considers to be an offense. And this we learned in the ninth canto, in the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. It's very interesting. Durvasa Muni. The name Durvasa. Dur means at a distance, and Vasa means where you live. He lives at a distance from the holy Dham because he doesn't have that humble mood. So once when he arrived at the residence of Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj was just finishing his morning program, and so Ambarish Maharaj was thinking, I'll just finish up here in 1 or 2 seconds and then I'll go and see to my guest. But immediately Durvasa was offended. Oh, he didn't come and honor me and accept my presence immediately. So he was thinking like that. And technically, he was correct. Ambarish Maharaj didn't come immediately. So it was true. And he only thought like that. And just having that thought, immediately Sudarshan Chakra said, this is a great aparad to a great Vaishnava. Confirmed. Ambarish Maharaj, he was the perfection of Atmanivedanam. Every second, every thought, every act, every breath was only for Krishna Seva. So when Durvasa Muni saw Sudarshan Chakra, he used his mystic powers to get away. But wherever he went, Sudarshan Chakra was hot on his heels. Finally, he realized, I'm never going to get away from Sudarshan Chakra. So he went and offered his full obeisances right in front of Vishnu. He said, Vishnu, please protect me. Only you can protect me. He begged for mercy. Protect me from your Sudarshan Chakra. And what did Vishnu say? Shri Shri Gornitai Jagannath Krishna Balaram Shri Shri Radhesham Ki Jai. Vishnu, Shri Vishnu said, O Durvasa Muni, my hands are tied. I cannot do anything. Durvasa Muni said, what? You're Vishnu, you can do everything. You're the supreme controller. No, my hands are tied. I cannot do anything. Why not? Because you committed an offense to a Vaishnava. He was shocked. Well, how do I alleviate this? The only one way, you have to go back to that Vaishnava and beg for forgiveness. Then your offense can be alleviated. You can be reestablished with my mercy. So this is something very, very interesting. That when we offend a Vaishnava, when we find a fault with a Vaishnava, even thinking, of course in Kali Yuga we get that special benediction that your thoughts don't count against you. But thinking and then willing, once you start thinking, sometimes it comes out, we speak it. Then that offense, we're cut from the mercy of the Lord. This is the teaching of the ninth canto, that these aparads, by the way, aparadha, aparad means completely opposite to the mood of Radharani, who's always glorifying the Vaishnavas. And as soon as we find fault, we are no longer treading in the footsteps of Radharani. We're completely on a different path. And we've been cut from the mercy of Sri Vishnu. Now the murderers in the jail, the cheaters, those who are the most corrupt, they're not cut from the mercy of Vishnu. They can still get the mercy. The only persons who are cut from the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are those who commit Vaishnava aparad, or Nam aparad, or Dham aparad, but especially Vaishnava aparad. So we have to be very careful. So we have a great benediction living here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, but we have to be also very, very careful not to commit an offense. And Prabhupada in the purport, he refers to the previous verse. So let's have a quick look at the previous verse. The previous verse says, even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the persons who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember the transcendental names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we're not doing that, then we will not be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why is that? Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15, shloka 15, 15, 15. He says, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta, I am seated in everyone's heart. Krishna is seated in everyone's heart. That means he knows everything that's going on in your consciousness. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. And from me, Krishna says, mata, smritir comes remembrance. Mata smritir jnanam comes knowledge, apohanam cha, and forgetfulness. So there's three shaktis that Krishna controls from within our heart as Paramatma or as Chaita Guru. There's a smriti shakti, where he allows us to remember who we are. And who are we? Das, 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 anudas. He allows us to remember who everyone else is. And who is everyone else? Prabhu. He allows us to remember that we are Nitya Krishna Das, we're eternal servant of Krishna. He allows us to remember that our eternal service is Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. And smritir, mata smritir jnanam, he gives us knowledge. Knowledge means you know something. When you know something, then you understand. If you don't know, then you don't understand. So he gives us the knowledge so that we can understand and remember our position. But if we're not following the process, or if we commit aparad, then his apohan shakti comes in there. Prabhupada translates the apohan shakti sometimes as the forgetfulness or the covering potency. Because when you're covered, you forget. When you're covered, you can't see. You may be out at Kushum Sarovar. It's a beautiful day. The birds are singing. The swans are in the lake. It's gorgeous. But if someone throws a blanket over your head, all you see is darkness. That's the covering potency. So, Krishna's in control of that also. So we really want to get the mercy of the Lord so that we can get the benefit of His Smriti Shakti and His Gyan Shakti. And to do that, we always have to be hearing, chanting, contemplating, which means meditating and thinking about, and causing others to hear and chant and remember the transcendental names, the transcendental forms, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This is our duty. Avishta Chaitana Bhavaya Kalpate, which means the devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities and not on the material platform is fit to receive the mercy of the Lord. I remember one of my godbrothers, this was in 1976, I'm not going to mention his name and you'll know why after I tell you this story. He was quite fat, but he'd been in India for some time and he was quite knowledgeable and he was also quite a good preacher, enthusiastic. He wanted to take sannyas. So the sannyas candidates came in front of Prabhupada, and when this devotee came forward, Prabhupada looked at him and he said, fat, but not fit. Prabhupada didn't like fat sannyasis. Because you're supposed to be the symbol of renunciation. Sometimes there's one lady out here, I've become friends with her. She's a panhandler. That's what we say when someone who's not really a beggar, they're just, it's their business. And she's fatter than I am. So I always joke with her. I said, "You're eating better than me. What do you want money from me?" So the thing is that we really have to understand what is the attractive qualities that will attract us to get the mercy of the Lord. So here in this shloka, O Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. We can understand that because we can experience this in Sri Vrindavan Dham. But the visitors who come here, people who come and go, they may not experience that because they're not getting the mercy of the Lord. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of your lotus, conch shell, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. So that happens when Krishna allows us to see, when He gives us that vision, when the curtain is completely pulled and we see the transcendental Vrindavan Dham that Gopakumar saw. Gopakumar was also here in Vrindavan and he was thinking, where is the topmost place? Where is that transcendental realm? And he was going everywhere trying to find the transcendental realm. And everywhere he went, he felt there must be something more than this. And then in the end, he returned, he was back in Vrindavan. And then he looked around and he saw Vrindavan in a whole different way. And he saw the beauty of Vrindavan, the transcendental qualities of Vrindavan. He said, there's no place like this in the entire creation. And then he looked and he saw Krishna with the gopis and the gopas. And then Krishna turned around and he saw Gopakumar. And he ran over to Gopakumar and he embraced him. Oh, Gopakumar, you've returned. You're back home. And tears were coming from Krishna's eyes. And the gopas and the gopis were looking, who is this person that Krishna is giving so much love? They all came. They were all giving their heartfelt affection and praise and glorification to Gopa Kumar. And that's who we are. That's our goal, at the end of this life, we don't leave the body. The body just falls away and we see that transcendental Vrindavan. And Krishna is there. And he comes running over. Oh, Panchagoda, it's been so long. So nice to see you here. Tears coming from his eyes. He's dedicated his life to living in Vrindavan. And so we all have, because we've gotten the taste. Without getting that taste, we cannot remain here. It has been our desire to come here. And because we had that desire to remain here, we are here. And if we don't have that desire, you won't be here. Now, how is Vrindavan such a special place that even we say that every temple is Vaikuntha? Isn't it? Non-different than Vrindavan. Isn't that what we say? Yes or no?
Yes.
But every time that Srila Prabhupada became ill, immediately, wherever he was, he left and he came to Vrindavan, thinking this may be the end. I was in Bombay in 1977. Prabhupada couldn't even walk. They had to carry him on a chair to go up to his room. And then, you know, September, October, and then all of a sudden one day, Prabhupada said, I have to go to Vrindavan. Everyone was shocked. Srila Prabhupada, how can you go to Vrindavan? You might not make it. No, I have to go to Vrindavan. So even though he was in Vaikuntha, in the Juhu temple, serving Radha Rasa Bihari, he had to come to Vrindavan. And this was his final lesson. You come to Vrindavan to leave your body in Vrindavan, because when you leave your body in Vrindavan, you have a guarantee that no one else has. And that is, you go back to Godhead. Last life. And if you're not living here, it means you don't understand that. We're here because we love Vrindavan, but we also know this is our last life. We're not taking a risk being anywhere else. Because if I was somewhere else and I knew that I got some heart failure or something, immediately hop on a plane, come to Vrindavan, just like Prabhupada always did. But now I don't want to leave Vrindavan. I'm saying all glories to this virus, because now I can just stay eternally in Vrindavan. I don't have to leave. And it's just given me such deep realizations. So this all comes by the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, the demigods and the personified Vedas are praying, we are so fortunate, because the heavy burden that's on this earth, caused by demoniac mentality and demoniac personalities filled with lust, anger, greed, envy, arrogance, and illusion, they've caused this to be a horrible place. But by some great fortune, we understand that you've given us your mercy. And therefore, we can see the transcendental holy Vrindavan right here, even with our material eyes. So, what Prabhupada says again here, when Krishna walks on this earth, the marks of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus are visible wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. He didn't walk in America. He didn't walk in Europe. But here he walked. Everywhere he went, here he walked. And Prabhupada says, because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently, and he's still walking here frequently. So this understanding is visible and understood by devotees who receive the causeless mercy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tavu anukampitam. So this is the tava anukampitam, means due to your causeless mercy upon us. So everything is due to the causeless mercy upon us. What does it mean, causeless mercy? We use it all the time. What does it mean?
The mercy which is without any cause.
You can't do anything to get that mercy. If I'm thinking, let me do this, and then I'll get the mercy, you've just disqualified yourself, because you're now making it a cause. For example, we're chanting japa. Then why are we chanting japa? If I'm chanting japa so I can become free from the material world, then that's karmakanda. What is the eighth offense? To think that the chanting of the holy name is one of the auspicious ritualistic activities as offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. In other words, I'm doing something to get a benefit. That's karmakanda. So why am I chanting japa? I'm going to get a benefit anyway, but I shouldn't be thinking I'm chanting to get the benefit. Why am I chanting? To please the Lord. That's all. Everything I'm doing is to please Krishna, to please Radharani, to please Krishna Balaram, to please Gornitai, to please Srila Prabhupada, to please our Guru, to please the Vaishnavas, to please the sadhus. And then we get the mercy, because we're not causing anything. It's causeless mercy. We're just doing it out of affection, out of devotion, out of service. Service means for the benefit of the person you're serving. If I'm doing it for my benefit, Prabhupada explained, that's not service. What is that called? What's the word? Business. If I'm doing something to get some reward, well, that's business. Service means I'm doing something to give joy to someone else. And my happiness comes from seeing their happiness. And Prabhupada gave the example of a mother and a child as the closest thing to love for Krishna. The mother is so happy, sacrificing her own life, doing everything for her child. She'll even run in front of a car and risk her life to save the child's life. And that same love that the mother has for the child, if she just focuses that same love on Krishna, then she becomes a sadhu. So that love is dormant in everyone's heart, the loving propensity, and where are we giving it to? We want to give it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then our life becomes perfect. So we should understand this. And that understanding comes from Krishna when he's pleased upon us. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. There's another very lovely verse. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam sitaiva bhajam yaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. As we more and more serve Krishna in a causeless mood, he more and more reciprocates with us. So in the beginning, you know, maybe I'm surrendering 1%, 5%, 10%, and I'm not getting the full benefit of Krishna's reciprocation. I want to come to giving Krishna 100% of what I have to offer in service to Him so that He can reciprocate with His 100%. What is my 100%? Compared to Prabhupada, it's nothing. But if I do the best that I can do, and if Prabhupada does the best that he can do, then Krishna sees us with equal vision. Samaham sarva bhuteshu. And this was the case in Ramayana when Hanuman was building the bridge to Lanka with the big boulders. And the Gileri, the little Gileri up on the tree, saw that. Oh, he was so inspired. He wanted to come down and kick in a few grains of sand to help Hanuman. And Hanuman said, "Oh, Gileri, please get out of the way. I'm doing big seva here. I don't want to step on you. Please move over." And Lord Ram said, "No, Hanuman. You are doing your best. He is doing his best, therefore you're equal in my eyes." And then Lord Ram came, and he, with his three fingers, he caressed the back of the Gileri. And that's why the Gileri has three lines on his body. This is the story. So, if we do our best, Krishna will see us with equal vision as he sees Prabhupada. And he'll give us 100% reciprocation. Can you imagine? I'm giving my paltry 100% seva to Krishna, and he's reciprocating with his infinite 100%. Is that a good deal for me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You don't sound sure. That's the best deal you'll ever get in millions of lifetimes. So we should understand this and focus on this, and we get that mercy because we're giving. Give and you shall receive. Every scripture, every shastra, every tradition, every religion, every saint always has said, "Give and you shall receive." That's a law of the universe. You give love, you receive love. You give mercy, you receive mercy. So that's what we want to do. We want to give, and Krishna reciprocates. Yayatamam prapanjate tam sataiva bhajamyaham. For me, this is Krishna's MO, his modus operandi. Now we understand his MO. Whatever I give and approach him, surrender to him, he reciprocates accordingly. Wow. Now I know his mentality. Now I know what I have to do. And then another verse that's so, so important. Chapter 10, Shloka 10. Tesham satata yukchanam vajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. That when we give Krishna our priti purvakam, it's not going to be the same priti that Prabhupada's giving Krishna. It's not going to be the same love and devotion that Mother Yashoda is giving. But if we give the best that we can do, then Krishna says, "Buddhi yogam tam." I will give you that intelligence, that knowledge, that understanding of devotional service, of bhakti yoga. Yena mam upayanti te, so that you can come to me. Krishna wants us to come to him. The question is, do we want to go to him? How much is that desire that we want to return back to him? Let it be 100%. On this day, let's make a sankalpa. Let's give Krishna 100%. Let's do the best that we can do in all our service. Is Krishna worth giving 100%, our best that we can do? Is he worth it? If anybody is worth it, it's Krishna and Radha and Krishna Balaram and Gornitai. So let's take a sankalpa today and make our lives successful. And then you will become like Gopakumar. Thank you very much. Question? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Jai.
The devotees are actually fully engaged in their temples in Miami, Caracas, London, Paris, who are actually genuinely serving the deities with heart and soul, chanting the rounds and really enthusiastic. They shouldn't feel that they're being minimized, that they're not in Vrindavan, because they're also in Vrindavan. Their mentality is also Vrindavan. So we don't want to get the impression that we can minimize devotional service and that Vrindavan Dham is present in all these other places where people are, but I understand exactly what you're saying, because the surrounding areas are not conducive. Unless you're really, really fully engaged in the mood of devotion to Guru, Krishna, and engaging your devotion, even out in the sankirtan in the streets, whatever, you're in Vrindavan with a special protection, obviously.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you very much. Temple president always gives the topmost points. That's why he's the president. Now, we're not minimizing seva anywhere else, but Prabhupada wanted us to come to Vrindavan. How many people, those of us who were there when Prabhupada was here, will remember Prabhupada always used to say, you come to Vrindavan to recharge your spiritual batteries, get fired up, get inspired, and then go back out to preach in the material world. And every year you come again to get inspired, to get fired up. You remember. So where else can you live where the regulative principles is normal life for over 50,000 people everywhere in Brajabhumi? You don't have to think about it. It's just everything is here. Everyone's a devotee of Krishna. Everywhere you go, there's temples. Every home is a temple. So it is a special place. So devotees living in the West, they can try to live in Vrindavan in the mind, but they won't be able to take bath in the Jamuna. They won't be able to take darshan of Monkey Bihari. They can take darshan of Krishna Balaram through the video, but there's a special, they won't be able to do Vrindavan Parikrama. Now, one more thing let me add. Prabhupada was saying, Shastra also says, 1,000 times the benefit, everything magnified in Vrindavan. But now let's consider Purushottam Adhik Mas. Everything is magnified by 1,000 times in Purushottam Adhik Mas. So they get that benefit in the West. But the benefit we get being doing Purushottam Adhik Mas is 1,000 times 1,000. That's 1,000,000 times the benefit. Unbelievable. This is in Shastra. Why would I not make a plan to come here? At least if I can't, I have duties there, I'm on the battlefield. But when, you know, before the battle is over, I must come to Vrindavan and leave my body here. That was the example set by Prabhupada. So that's my vision. And nothing that the devotees are doing is minimized. And they're going to get the blessings of Krishna. And Krishna is going to decide those blessings. No one knows what those blessings are except Krishna. But the benefit that we have in Vrindavan, leaving the body here, is we know that there's a guarantee. We don't have to think about it. Guarantee. Go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.